Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. Venezuela, a failed state, a rogue state, welcoming to bad actors from outside of the Americas, Moscow, Beijing, Tehran, Pyongyang, more, Beirut, especially the Hezbollah bad actors. But at the same time, Venezuela is a challenge to the United States directly. We're told, it's storytelling, but it makes sense, that Venezuela is pleased to drive people out of its country, knowing that it drains the resources of American cities, such as New York, to take care of so many hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans who are worthy people. Nobody doubts that. But the dislocation also goes along with drug running and gang warfare and perhaps coordination between Caracas and some of the worst of the gangsters operating in America. All that story is anecdotal. However, now we have some facts. The United States has recognized Mr. Gonzalez in exile, having fled in Spain, as the president of Venezuela. The inauguration comes in early January, right before President Trump is inaugurated. And the last time I checked, Mr. Gonzalez said he was going to return to Venezuela for his inauguration. Professor, this looks like trouble, major trouble, purposeful trouble, because the U.S. has now recognized Mr. Gonzalez as the legitimate president. What are we going to do about it? Thank you.
This is an interesting development, the fact that U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken officially recognized Edmundo Gonzalez as president-elect, which, again, goes to the overwhelming and photographic evidence that was collected courageously by the Venezuelan opposition, thousands of people from the individual over 30,000 voting stations, showing that Gonzalez on July 28th won an overwhelming majority vote. But what it suggests also is that we may be going toward a situation similar to what we had with Juan Guaido, the previous president de jure, which in, again, 2019, 2020, the U.S. not only recognized him as president rather than de facto occupier of territory, Nicolas Maduro, but mobilized the international community, including about 60 other countries, to treat that as a reality. And what that meant when we went back to Juan Guaido is the question of who controls Venezuelan bank accounts, gold in bank accounts in Great Britain, the revenues from CITGO, operations located in the United States, who controls embassies in those various different countries. And so what we may be moving towards here with calling Edmundo Gonzalez president-elect is that when he officially gets to his taking of power, although that might not physically occur in Venezuelan territory, he's currently in exile in Spain, that, at least if there are legal instruments in place to also recognize him as essentially the owner or the, having the right to make treaty commitments, other commitments, run embassies and do important economic things in terms of assets such as CITGO. So that is so the secondary question. And again, we recall that the Biden administration had previously made some what some would term grave errors in trying to negotiate with the Maduro administration through the Barbados Accords, thinking that releasing some of the sanctions on Maduro would lead to good behavior in democratic elections, which did not occur. And so in many ways, this is a tacit recognition by the outgoing Biden administration that didn't work out too well. The good news is that the incoming Trump administration, this is probably one area where we're likely to see a certain amount of consistency. Again, Marco Rubio, who has been very dedicated to cracking down on authoritarian rulers, including Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela, is going to be President-elect Trump's Secretary of State. Mike Waltz, Republican representative from Florida, actually, ironically, just sponsored what was House Resolution 835, which is known as the Bolivar Act, after Simon Bolivar, which essentially seeks to authorize essentially punishment and sanctions against anyone who would economically help the Maduro administration. And again, Mike Waltz is now going to become President Trump's national security advisor. And so what it appears is that we are going to be moving into a situation where when President Trump takes the oath of office on January 20th, just 10 days after the transition in Venezuela, that you're likely to have a continuation of some posture of recognizing Edmundo Gonzalez as president. Then the question becomes, will the instruments be in place to accommodate that with the reality, with sanctioning Maduro as illegitimate occupiers of territory, working with Gonzalez as the operators of embassies and the owner of Venezuelan assets like Citgo around the world? What type of treaty commitments and other things could Gonzalez and his de jure government actually do, working with the United States and others? And so I think it's going to take us into some pretty interesting new territory, especially because, of course, Nicolas Maduro and the armed forces that continue to back him, including the Cubans and those who've recognized his illegitimate government, such as the Chinese, will continue down that path at the same time that we move into this new territory.
Detail here about Venezuela. I believe Lula da Silva has backed away from Maduro recently. Is that correct? Trying to be a leader of an alternative opinion of him.
That is correct. Lula, on the one hand, has sympathy for the left and has not wanted to excessively call out Nicolas Maduro. But at the same time, Lula does consider himself a Democrat. And so this has placed him in a very awkward position. Brazil has called again and again for Nicolas Maduro to show the evidence that, as he claimed in his body, the Electoral Council, the CNE, claimed that Maduro had won the election. That those frustrations led to Lula out of frustration blocking the entrance of Venezuela into the expanded BRICS organization during its meeting in Kazan, Russia. I think Lula's become frustrated also that Nicolas Maduro has called Lula a stooge of the United States and in a range of other things. And so even some of Maduro's closest friends and supporters are increasingly getting alienated by the posture and the unrealistic claims that he's taken about still being the president of Venezuela. But he still continues to control the guns and the territory physically of the Venezuelan state.
Professor Evan Ellis, New World Report.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.